This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, found on pages 239 and 240 in your pew Bible. Please read along with me. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
So I was about to leave El Salvador 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Friday, right? And I mentioned as we were getting ready to leave the pastoral house in Berlin that I kind of needed to write a sermon on the airplane. And so I was asked, are you going to tell the congregation about El Salvador? And I said, no, I haven't digested it yet. Actually, Blanca of the pastoral team came to my rescue. She said it first. No, you have to meditate on it first. And the Hebrew word for meditating, by the way, she didn't speak Hebrew at the time, but the Hebrew word for meditating means to gnaw on something, like a dog trying to get to the marrow in a bone. So that's, I've been chewing for a couple of weeks here. And so I don't promise to have everything fully digested yet today, but I'm going to offer a little bit of what I saw and experienced in El Salvador. And I want to start with just a little word to, I know there are some among us who kind of wish they didn't hear about El Salvador quite as much. There are some who think that the way that we invest in our partnership in El Salvador would be better spent closer to home, and I get that. I understand where you're coming from, but I hope that you listen to this anyway, because in the scripture lesson, this is a little introduction to the scripture lesson, Paul, writing to the Philippians, is about to acknowledge that there are those who have concerns about the motives of other people who are also proclaiming the Christian gospel at the time that he is in ministry, and he dismisses those concerns because he says, all that matters is that Christ is proclaimed. All that matters is that Christ is proclaimed. And surely, well-intentioned people can proclaim Christ in relationship with more than one different place. And so, if El Salvador is not your particular place, then yes, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to apply what I'm talking about today, but this gospel is for you as well. So, Paul has given thanks for those to whom he is writing, and he's writing from prison, it would seem. And yet, he asks the church to bear witness to everything that God is doing, even in that particular context that Paul is writing from. And so he continues here. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ, And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. This is the word of the Lord. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way. So we're going to invite the whole delegation to San Isidro to speak on some other Sunday, but today I want to just lift up some of how Christ was proclaimed to me in El Salvador over those 8 days that Warren said during Contemporary Issues felt like 8 weeks. So this was my first time in San Isidro. I've been abroad before. I've never been to El Salvador before. I've traveled outside the United States. I've seen poverty in the United States, but then the poverty in El Salvador is something altogether different from what I've seen and experienced. I was especially struck during our time there, and the delegation's itinerary is built to allow this to come home for us, is the centrality of water in El Salvador, and especially the attention for us as gringos, especially to what water is clean, what water we can actually drink and use for cooking and those sorts of purposes, and what water just shouldn't be used for that. The medical delegation named this very clearly as they talked about the pervasive kidney failure and other diseases that are related especially to the lack of clean water and lack of water in general. This focus on water for me, actually, again, as a first-timer, kind of reminded me of camping, which I've done. And I've camped in places where you don't have fresh water all the time, and so there was some context for that for me. So it wasn't entirely a shock, and at the same time, when I go camping, I get to come back home again and quit caring about which water is which and just use whatever water comes out of the tap. And there are so many who don't get to come home from camping and quit worrying about which water is clean. Now, it was powerful for me in general to just begin feeling El Salvador in my body. I knew that El Salvador was there. I knew that these were our partners, but to be there is, well, it's something I commend to anyone who can get there and back. It is a powerful experience just to be present with someone. That's what travel does, regardless of where you're going, is it brings your body into relationship with a place and with a people. You might be able to make a connection there with that funny doctrine we have of the incarnation, where God comes as if from afar to be in a body in relationship with us in the place that we happen to be. There is something really deeply theological about what it is to go from one place to another in our bodies. The history of this place is part of what I came back feeling in my body. Now, I happen to still be young enough that most of what I think about as history happened sometime before I was born. Certainly, most of history happened before I noticed that it was going on, and that's still true today. The history that's going on in our world today, by and large, is off my radar most of the time. Well, the history that has defined so much of today's life in El Salvador happened very much while I was alive, but like I said, before I knew that it was there. I never heard a word about El Salvador during the civil war that completely upended life there as if life was steady and stable before the war. I never heard a word about it, and I imagined that my family was very attentive to the world around us at the time. And so that just I try to remember as I think about that, that when I hear about other tragedies around the world, or when I don't hear about tragedies around the world, but I know they're going on anyway, whether those tragedies are around the world or right here at home, in fact, well, having been there, having experienced some of the after effects of this history 25 years after the peace accords were signed, I am reminded of the people who don't make the news today, but the real people who are sort of in the grip of the history that is already going on in the world around us. Those are real people as well. I also saw how inspiring it is, the ways that our neighbors in San Ysidro accomplish so very much with so few material resources. So much of what we assume and take for granted, they don't have. And there are truly dire conditions there in El Salvador. The land has been depleted by colonial forces, whether those were military or economic, over centuries. And today still, there's no fertility left in the land. And the food that is grown has to be completely supplemented with the fertilizer that we, on a routine basis, are asked to help provide. And I'm so grateful that we are able to do that. It wasn't quite farming season yet in San Ysidro. The rainy season doesn't normally begin until May, although that beginning of the rainy season has gotten more uncertain of late. But we were able to see a little bit of just how physically punishing the farm labor is in that setting. Work at home really is just as hard as work on the farm, and I find that I take so very much for granted. I could also see as we visited homes in San Ysidro how dramatically money sent back from the United States can transform the standard of living there in San Ysidro. And so whatever your politics around questions of immigration, I do invite you to see immigration as well from that side, from the question of where are the financial resources and what would you do in order to get those for your family? But I also saw how the directiva and the community members work tirelessly to improve and develop their community, how prudent they are with the resources they have access to, and their justifiable pride in the results that they are able to accomplish with those resources. And I also saw, again, this applies whatever community you are called to be in direct relationship with, but I also saw how important it is for us to be there in order to make the difference, because what works here or works elsewhere, even elsewhere in El Salvador, what works in one place may not work in that place, whether for reasons of culture or climate or economics or infrastructure. There are things that work in one place that don't work somewhere else. That Sunday that we got back, I was talking with Mark Hilliard, and he said, yeah, you go to El Salvador, and it's like an NGO graveyard. All of these well-intentioned material programs that are just sort of shipping in things that we think will solve a problem. And it's not that the problem can't be solved, but it is that so often what I, standing here in West Des Moines, think would solve a problem in some other part of the world simply won't. And problems that I, standing here in Covenant Presbyterian Church, think will solve a problem somewhere else in West Des Moines won't necessarily as well. But it's easier, right? It's easier to just send what we think would be help rather than to go and find out what help would look like. And as we go, as we build these relationships with our neighbors in San Ysidro, we learn a little bit more about what help would look like there. Going there helps us to reduce some of those unintended consequences of our very well-intentioned desire to help. It allows us to submit our solutions to the wisdom and experience of those people that we would like to help and support. And that's all not to mention the way that I sort of recognized in El Salvador, almost like a landfill for just stuff that America didn't need anymore, whether those are cars or other materials, and I find myself being just much more conscious of what I throw out and what I buy. Now, I want to draw some of those impressions out beyond El Salvador itself, because as Paul seems to suggest to us, and this is true, it is the same gospel everywhere. The gospel that I'm recognizing in San Ysidro is the same gospel that we should recognize here in West Des Moines. So I saw again lessons of the power of Christian hospitality as we go to travel to be in that place. Now, if you don't know what Christian hospitality is, Christian hospitality looks a lot like what we would otherwise call receiving hospitality. Christian hospitality is, in fact, to go into someone else's reality and be their guest in their place. So it's a hospitality that doesn't simply invite people into our space to play by our rules, but invites ourselves into someone else's space to learn what their reality is like. That's that incarnation again, if you're looking for that. The community in San Ysidro fed us richly every single day with delicious and precious food. The amount that was invested of the resources of that community just to feed those of us in our delegation was absolutely humbling. Each family, as we visited their homes, gave us a verbal blessing in eloquent, eloquent words. It was one of those things that it's intangible, but you can feel it right there in your gut as you receive that blessing. And then there was the day that one of the families in San Ysidro gave the pastoral team a tortoise to take back with us in the truck back to the pastoral house. I saw in San Ysidro the ability of the community to self-organize and the value of this model that is built on partnership, not built on us doing something for them, but also not built on us just leaving them to do for themselves, but rather a community, now two communities, working together in order to support and offer strength to each other. We humbly support them in their financial needs, and we affirm their God-given dignity and their ability to handle our resources with, again, wisdom and humility. We are partners together. We're not simply donors to them. And I saw the beauty of these ongoing relationships. Paul, for instance, wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, a church that he had actually founded, but that he didn't go to see all that often. But he was able to keep up a relationship simply through this exchange of letters and his prayers that he offered for them. And we keep up this relationship through this exchange of letters and the prayers that we offer and that they offer for us. It was really special to see the reunions between our partners and our partner families in San Ysidro, those who had been there before, and it was really special. Anne and Pam had partner families in San Ysidro that they had not gotten to meet because, of course, it was their first time as well, and to watch those, well, they were reunions among people who hadn't met each other in person yet. But they were reunions. There was grace there. So let me try to make a little bit more specific connection to the scripture lesson today. Because in the scripture this morning, Paul is talking about the fact that he is writing this letter from prison. He's in a really dire situation himself. But he testifies that God is able to create goodness and blessing even from the reality of his suffering. That's part of why we're going to read the book of Philippians during this Easter season, because the resurrection is God's ability to create goodness from the reality of suffering. And so Paul says even his imprisonment is something that God can use to spread the gospel. Not that God has decided that Paul should become a prisoner, but God is not powerless to operate in the face of Paul's imprisonment either. God is able to create goodness out of suffering every time. And in the same way, God was able to lift up vital, loving communities in El Salvador from the wreck of that war and all of the decades of oppression that came before it. The survival of these communities in El Salvador has embodied and clarified the gospel, not just in their context, but in the contexts of all of us who enter into relationship with these communities. And God makes us a more vital congregation in our relationship with this community that is otherwise unlike us. Because when we are in mission with God, those blessings, they flow both directions. And for the record, I want to offer that as a word of hope in your personal life as well. If disaster and suffering seem a whole lot closer to home than San Ysidro is, well, I want to say that God is able to create life from suffering right here as well. God is able to transform our suffering into new life right here as well. Now, most of the disasters we live through in our lives, they're not necessarily as pervasive as the disaster of recent history in El Salvador. But Paul's suffering in prison was very particular as well. All suffering is ultimately very particular in the lives of those who are experiencing it. All suffering is particular, and that means that I can't question your suffering because you are the one who really knows your suffering. But I also know that the closer we get to each other, the more real each other's suffering is. The closer we get to each other, the more deeply we understand the situations of those that we are in relationship with. And I want to offer that to you as a word of hope. This is one of the ways that God transforms our suffering. This is one of the ways that God is able to proclaim the gospel through the lives that we live in this world. God is able to create life from your suffering because your neighbor stands right there close to you, ready to enter into your suffering with you. So I invite you to take heart, and I also invite you to invite your neighbor in to experience this life together. And I want to offer that as a word of call to you as well, because you may be the one whose partnership in the gospel makes a difference to your neighbor, whether your neighbor is far away or right up close in a physical sense. Your presence may be the presence that is able to transform the suffering of your neighbor into new life. God might be ready to work right through you to bear witness to that gospel in the life that we share together. Our mission in partnership, our relationships with each other, they are the work of the gospel. They are a way that God shines a light in the darkness. It is a way that we share in God's work of new life arising from suffering in El Salvador, in West Des Moines, and throughout this world. So I say, thanks be to God. Amen.